Hello everyone, good. It's afternoon over here, so good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice. I want to appreciate joining in today, to be blessed of God. God is good to us and is faithful. Welcome to the Bold Christian Ministry. This is an online fellowship where we get to share the Word of God together, where we get to look into God's words and we get to learn at the feet of Jesus. You're welcome once again, and of course, if you are just learning about the Bold Christian Ministry, it's an online fellowship where, of course, we meet bi-weekly, basically. Of course, if you interested in finding more, you can log on to our website on the boldchristianministry.org, where you get to learn about the mandate of the of this ministry, to proclaim the love of God and the hope of eternal life through the gospel and faith of Jesus Christ. That is the mandate God has saddled us with, and as we strive towards the apostolic recovery of the church. So we're meeting today, of course, considering the Word of God, which is meant to be the Bible study, from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. bi-weekly. That's when we meet for a time of refreshing in the presence of God to learn and dig into God's Word. That is family essence. And tomorrow, Sunday, between the same time, 12 to 1 p.m., we meet for an interesting moment of prayer meeting, where we get to pray on our request. Of course, there are a lot of requests on our mind, and those that we have written down, we get to come together and trust God that God is able to resolve the challenges according to that we may be experiencing according to His own will. All right, if you are just joining us, welcome. This is the Bold Christian Ministry, and we are gathering today to as well learn about God's Word. And of course, God has been so good to us. There are so many things to thank Him for. I want to believe He's faithful. He has been faithful to us, providing for our needs and looking after our lives. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by the Spirit of God. Today, we are going to be considering another subject in the scriptures. Of course, before we proceed, we would bow our heads as we pray together. I want us to bless the name of the Lord in a couple of minutes. Let's just appreciate God for what He has been doing in our lives. Let's close our eyes and thank God for His faithfulness upon our lives. With Him are privileges, and we want to bless the name of the Lord and appreciate what He has been doing for us, you know, and how He has been watching over our lives, keeping us day and night, providing for all our needs, strengthening us, giving us strength each day to overcome the challenges of each day, inspiring us to overcome the challenges of each day. He is faithful, and for keeping us alive as well, for being part of this today's meeting. Let's thank God, because God is good to us. His goodness and His mercies endure forever. Let's thank God because God has given us life. He has given us life. He has given us hope. He has given us the hope of eternal life. He has given us salvation in Christ. He has always been enabling us. When we grow weary, He's strengthening us by the power of His Holy Ghost. Let's thank God for His faithfulness upon our lives. Let's thank Him for His faithfulness. Let's thank Him for His abiding presence. Let's thank Him for His precious promises. Oh God, we thank You, O Lord, for Your goodness upon our lives. We thank You for Your mercies. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace, Your strength upon our lives. Thank You for how thus far You help us in our journey with You. We give You all praise. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Let's thank God because He's good to us. Let's thank God because He's merciful. Let's thank God because He's kind. What is it? And take three. Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Our righteous God in heaven, we want to thank you for today. We bless your name for how thus far you have helped us in our journey with you. It is not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. We want to thank you for giving us life. We are grateful, Lord, unto you. Thank you for all you've been doing on in our lives, in our family, in our homes, everywhere around us. We give you our praise. Be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing the works of our hands. Thank you for your faithfulness upon us. We thank you, Lord, for making it possible for us to be gathered again today in your presence to fellowship. Lord, we pray, we ask you, God, that the purpose of our gathering will be fulfilled in our lives in Jesus' name. We pray, we ask you, God, that you will speak to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That all flesh was manifest here. Lord, I pray that your word will be declared as it is set in the mighty name of Jesus. It will perform the purpose to which it will be shared today in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for now it is done. Bless our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for joining us on Family Essence today on the Bold Christian Ministry. Let's look at the Word of God today, what the Holy Spirit has to say to us through the Word of God today. Yes, if you have your Bible, of course, you can turn in your Bible with me. And the topic before us today is closing the gap of spiritual ignorance. Closing the gap of spiritual ignorance. There are a lot of times when we look at our lives and we begin to ask certain questions, certain things begin to run through our minds with regards to spiritual. What does that really mean? What does it mean? Spiritual ignorance. Can someone be spiritually ignorant in this time and age where, you know, whatever is happening around us, whatever is happening in the economy, whatever is happening in our families, in our homes? Of course, it's still very much possible for someone to be spiritually ignorant. Yes, so today we are looking at closing the gap. How do you close the gap of spiritual ignorance? There are a lot of times. Let me just start off with the story of, for those who are parents, basically, and you're raising, you raise kids and all that. Maybe you have maybe a child, two or three, whatever numbers you have. You will discover that this is a known something to everyone. You discover that when a child starts crawling, or when a toddler starts crawling and all that, or a baby starts crawling, and maybe you have a marker, something that you use to write on the chalkboard, on the board, basically, and you give the child that thing. I mean, you close it, you hand it over to the child. You discover that at some point in a child's life, whatever the child finds, it goes to the mouth. He wants to put it in the mouth. He wants to just put it in the mouth. Even if you give the child a marker, if you give the child your phone, whatever, anything the child finds around, the baby finds around, it goes to the mouth. He doesn't go anywhere else. He just wants to put it in the mouth. You know, that's. Now, as time goes on, when the child grows up a little, and you perhaps the same marker, you open it up and you take a sheet of paper and you start writing it. The child begins to wonder, so this thing can write. Oh, I was putting it in my mouth. Oh, now it can write, right? We will say that the child was ignorant of that same, the function of that same marker, or the function of the phone, basically. Because the child has grown to a level where he or she now understands, so this thing is not meant to be put in my mouth. It's meant to be used. You're meant to use to write on a plain paper or on a board, or probably the phone. You're meant to use it to communicate. We'll say the child is ignorant of that same technology or that same device or whatever the child finds as a dad. So it is very evident that the world we live in has a lot of things that men seek answers for, basically. And that shows that we are not here alone. The world is very spiritual. For those who are still doubting that, really, is it spiritual? Everything is going on well for me. No, you hold on until you begin to find out that there are some things that you can't explain. It's beyond human reasoning, basically. Everything might be going on for you, but perhaps you find some sicknesses in some people that is incurable. Basically, you find some maybe you have a colleague at work or something. You know, there was a time I was discussing with someone, and the person told me that, why is life so difficult? We were now talking. That was before I started, you know, my eyes started opening to, you know, deeper spiritual things and stuff. And the person said, whenever I wake up, I'm always sweating. Always sweating. It's not as if there is no ventilation in my house. It's not as if I'm always sweating. And when I'm having my dreams, I always encounter different things. I'll spare all the details and all that. And I started engaging the person that, well, you have to pray, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to get closer to God, you have to give your life to God. And that was my knowledge as a then. But really, it's very important that we understand that the world we live in is spiritual. And it's possible for someone to still be doubting how spiritual is this world. Of course, it's very spiritual. There's no other way around. There's no other way around how we can explain it. I think Paul the Apostle actually shared a few details regarding the unseen, on things that are unseen, basically the unseen realm, the realm that exists, but so many people are ignorant of it. Yes, so it's important that we understand that this same discussion, it's timely, and we will look at the book of Matthew first. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, in verse 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 13, in verse 28. Matthew 13 in verse 28. All right, I'll back up to verse 24. So I'll read, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tears also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tears? In verse 28, he said unto them, an enemy has done this. I'll stop there for a while. An enemy has done this. So who is this enemy? You know, the Jesus Christ came while advising and, you know, preaching the gospel, and they're educating his disciples about the nature of life, basically. And he points to an enemy, the same enemy that sowed tares among the wheat. He gave us the holistic view of how the texture of this enemy, what it looks like, its mission statement, what exactly is it. If you look at John 10 verse 10, It talks about the purpose of this enemy, the goal of this enemy, and what he has come to do. In John 10, the Gospel of St. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says there, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly." So he gave us a concept, an idea of the mission statement of this common enemy amongst men. Now, Paul the Apostle as well shed more light about this as well. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says there that lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, when you read through Paul's letters and you see someone using the phrase ignorance, Paul used the word ignorant from all of some of his letters, basically to the churches and to those that is a disciple, basically. It's important that when someone is using the phrase ignorance, that word ignorance in the context here means that there is a known enemy amongst men, which is the devil, which is Satan. Jesus Christ gave us a view about that, and then Paul the Apostle shared light about that as well. Lest Satan, uses the word Satan, that is the devil, the fallen angel, Lucifer himself, should get an advantage of us, because we are not ignorant of his devices. Whenever you come across the word ignorance, you have to take it, you have to pause. When you are reading the Bible and you come across ignorance, you know, you find words sometimes like, "If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant." Basically, these are Paul's letters. And when Paul writes, he writes without apology. And there's a reason. The context in which he's writing is to educate us about what is presently happening in the church and what we should be concerned about as individuals who are a body of Christ. Anybody that is sick would definitely need to visit an hospital, especially when you don't know the nature of the sickness, and then you need someone to diagnose, you need someone to, you know. It shows that if you find a sick person and someone who appears to be sick, the person needs to be checked, right? It means that the person really knows that he's sick, but does not know, he knows that he's unwell, but does not know the nature of the sickness. So we need a doctor to diagnose, to see what is, to know what is happening. And when you find someone that is drunk or intoxicated with, you know, wine and all that, there is no, the person doesn't need any explanation. The person doesn't need any name tag or any that I'm drunk, my name is, no. You will know that this person is evident, right? But the matter of spiritual is so complex in such a way that if one is not careful to take a pause and take inventory, you would know that you are ignorant of what is happening around you. And some will know and may not be able to know what to do at some point. How do someone take inventory, and what are the symptoms of spiritual ignorance? How do we diagnose that we are spiritually ignorant? There are a lot of things to examine, basically, with regards to examining an examination as to closing the gap of spiritual ignorance. If you want to close the gap of spiritual ignorance, you need to know the symptoms of what is making one to be ignorant spiritually. When you, in order for you to know that somebody is, you know, spiritually ignorant, I was having a conversation with someone who is in a Bible school, and the person was, you know, brought in an argument regarding, you know, is in a Bible school, but I don't know what kind of Bible school he's into, but you know, I've interviewed a few like that, and I now discover that going to Bible school does not, you can be deficient of some things. Yes, it does not really give you an holistic view of the world you are living in. It doesn't mean that you know the world that you are living in. And the person was telling me, oh, Satan doesn't exist, this and that and all that. I knew there is a problem somewhere. I knew this person. I don't want to go into that detail, but you know, by the time we were done for almost 2 hours, the guy discovered that he's spiritually ignorant of something. So it's important that we look through some symptoms. You know, most of us will read Bible. Some people don't believe in the Bible. They don't. They attend church, they are born again, but they don't believe what the Bible is saying. They don't believe the words in the Bible. Though they attend churches and they claim to be saved, they claim to, but they don't really believe in that same word. So for you to know that there are symptoms that will show if someone is spiritually ignorant. What are the symptoms? What are the things that you look at for you to know that someone is spiritually ignorant? Number one is the absence of the Word of God. Absence of the Word of God. When you find someone that lacks the knowledge of the Word of God, that person is spiritually ignorant. Yes, it's spiritually ignorance, because he doesn't even know the reason why this, he doesn't know how these words comes together. He doesn't know what inspired this, what to be put together by the patriarchs of old, by those who have lived before us, who have lived in time before us. You know, the book of Hosea chapter 4, Hosea chapter 4 in verse 6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, when you lack knowledge, there is no argument anywhere. You lack the knowledge. You can't move, because the knowledge is missing. The piece that is supposed to drive your movement is missing. So it says here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. So knowledge of the Word of God makes you to be conscious of the world that you live in, makes you to be aware of the world that you live in, that I live in, which is important. So if someone is ignorant of the Word of God and the reason why it's being communicated, you will discover that right from ages, there is always a constant communication between God and man, right? It's always a constant communication between, that's the interaction. The Bible is all about interaction of the physical and spiritual. You know, Abraham prayed to God, you know, the patriarchs of old, Moses, you know, on Mount Sinai. It's always the communication between God and man, spiritual and physical, spiritual and physical, spiritual and physical. Now, the book of Psalm chapter 119 in verse 30 says, the entrance of thy word, thy words, giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. It gives you an understanding. It makes you conscious to be aware of your environment. It makes you to be aware of what is going on around you. So if someone doesn't even believe in the Word of God, does not believe on what is written in the scriptures, does not even believe that there is always an interaction between God and man at every point in time, then that kind of person is ignorance. It's ignorance of his environment, and will need to take a personal journey to know what we are talking about, to be able to find his place in the kingdom of God. That kind of person needs to take a personal journey. And I need to make us understand that this is an age where each and every one of us, we need to take a personal journey into God. Perhaps you are working, everything is working for you. No, you are still deficient of some things. And that is the place of the spiritual. Perhaps you are the CEO of a company, a Fortune 500 company, and everything is going. You have a house in Bahamas. You have investment everywhere. And you are still ignorant of this same side of the divide, which is the main thing that we should prioritize first, not the physical. For you to be able to understand this, you need to understand the letters in the Bible. You need to understand the Word of God. When the Word of God is missing from the life of a man, such a person he doesn't even know where he is. He can't describe it. He can describe it logically by his mental, cerebral power, but he cannot describe it from the perspective of God. Perhaps you see something and you begin to say, okay, this is, you use logic to analyze the situation and say, no, this should be this, this should be. What we are talking about, the matter of spiritual is not logic. It goes beyond logic. It's not logic, it's spiritual. It's an unseen realm. There is an unseen realm that is beside, is not far from us. Yes. So that kind of person that lacks the knowledge of the Word of God needs to take a personal journey into God. Another symptom that you find when you see someone with spiritual ignorance is the absence of light. Absence of light. Absence of light. Light is that which, when put to it makes bright. Perhaps you find a dark place, you put light there, you won't find the darkness again. So it's important that we understand that light. Without that light, we are blind. We are ignorant. We don't even know. We have no clue what we are doing here. We have no clue. And when you look at the book of John, chapter 1, the book of John chapter 1 explains this. John chapter 1. I'll read very quickly here. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Talking about the personality of Jesus Christ. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 8, it says in verse 7, it says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. And that's that all men through him might believe. It was not that John was not a light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. That is, when you are deficient of this light, this personality called Jesus, if you don't know this personality, you are spiritually ignorant. Yes, that kind of person is spiritually ignorant. If you don't identify, if you have not been able to discover this light, if you have not been able to discover this light, let's see what the light talked about himself here. In the book of John chapter 15 in verse 1, it says here, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. That's the the personality of Jesus Christ and God. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, that is in Christ, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without our light, we are blind. We are ignorant of what is happening to us. We are spiritually ignorant. We are spiritually ignorant. You know, when you hear the testimonies of people who maybe you don't believe in church, I will challenge you, just try and attend maybe a meeting in church, and then hear people's testimony about what they experience in spirit. Or maybe you even have someone who ran mad, or who is not feeling too well, and then doctors have diagnosed, they've done everything, and then you begin to interview. Maybe you have not interviewed anyone who is, you know, spiritually sick before. When you begin to interact with these same people, you discover that there is more to this world than just making money, just making dollars, making pounds sterling, making euro, making a lot of money. There is more to this life. The spiritual is very real. It's not something, and that's what Christ came to do, to make us see the light, so that we would know that we are bags of infirmities. We are living in a world that we don't even know. And if you want to know the world that you live in, you want to know how it operates, how it functions, what are the modalities around, you will need to take a journey into God. And this is an age where you cannot explain what is even happening now, because a lot of chaos, things are just happening so fast that you discover what kind of happening is going on in the world. That's to show you that there is a side that is controlling the world, which is the forces of darkness. So it's important that you understand that the light is Jesus. So when somebody, absence of light in the personality of Jesus shows that someone is spiritually ignorant. Now, another one is an absence of prayer. Absence of prayer. Now, from time, when you read through Genesis to, you know, Genesis, Revelation, the book of the prophets, basically, God has always been interacting with man. And the way to interact with God is through prayer. It's through prayer. Because God is a spirit, right? And when you're talking to God, you are engaging him in the place of prayer. Maybe you need God to intervene in a matter. What do? You pray. Prayer is a way of communication. It's a spiritual communication with a being that is not physical. That is not, you can't see, you can't eat. You need to engage in a communication with this being for you to seek intervention in the physical, for it to manifest in the physical. So it's a communication. Abraham prayed to God, Moses prayed to God, the prophets prayed to God, Samuel and the likes. It's that has been the way God interacts with man. And Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, made us understand that prayer, it's, men ought always to, you are, it's a daily exercise. It's not a 1 month, I did it 1 month, okay, I'm okay, I did it. No, it's a constant thing. And if you see someone who doesn't like to pray, that person is spiritually ignorant, who doesn't like any gathering of prayer, it shows that the person is spiritually ignorant. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought. Paul the apostle says, praying without ceasing. You hear the word tarry. You hear the word. These are matters that we should be concerned about. Absence of prayer. And you see someone who is deficient of prayer, when you say, let us go and pray, he will say, that's when the person will remember that there's a football match. That person is spiritually ignorant. He doesn't even know where he is. He doesn't even know that there are matters that should burden his or heart. And then when the person saw prayer, 2 hours prayer, this one, let us pray, let's have a prayer meeting, let's you know, the person is, that's the only time the excuse will come. Now, another symptom is when there is an absence of knowledge of a common enemy. You know, I shared with us how Jesus Christ defines, you know, Satan. And at some point, he said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And he says, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And Paul the Apostle actually made emphasis on that too, regarding Satan and all. This is an enemy that, you know, when God started, you know, the Eden program in the book of Genesis was meant to be a template for us to follow, basically, as human, the human race, basically. So, but then Satan came, messed up the program, and then Noah found favor in the eyes of God in the book of Genesis chapter 6. The sons of God came into the world, in jelly beans, and then they messed up a lot of things then again. And that was when Noah found favor with God. Then like that. So the enemy has always been around, but we are not aware. So I'm saying to you today, open your eyes, and then you need to start closing the gap of your spiritual ignorance. Everyone will need to take a journey into God. You know, when words like this come, we somehow, some trivialize it. They say, what is he talking about? The dollar is rolling in everything. I'm lounging where I am. You know, next week I'm on a holiday in Singapore. You know, I have things going on. My business is flowing. Everything is. You have not lived enough. You have not lived life enough. When you live life enough, and something, you know, when I was on campus, I was in a room where there was in the campus fellowship, they have different people, you know. But in my room, I have the Bible study secretary of the fellowship was in my room. Then I was in Tuan. I was in my year two. And then he was sharing what he used to narrate some things to me. He was sharing with me about a young guy that, you know, that they brought his case to him. And anytime he's sleeping, he's always eating with some beans, some kind of beans like ghosts, basically, that appear in the form of a ghost, and he eats with them every night, basically. And while he was sharing the experience, I can tell you a lot of experience, but I'll just stop at that, because I have some serious experience that is being shared with me from different quarters. But then it's important that we understand that these things are real. These things are very real. So I want us to close our eyes as we pray together. What are you doing as an individual to close the gap of spiritual ignorance in your life? What are you doing? Are you doing anything about it? Oh, you're just a rolling stone. You're just there. You're just okay. Everything. Oh, I'm okay. I'm feeling good. Everything is just. What are you doing as individual to close the gap of spiritual ignorance in your life from what we have learned about? The symptoms of spiritual ignorance: absence of the word of God, absence of light, absence of prayer, absence of the knowledge that there is a being called Satan. What are you doing to close that gap? Start taking inventory of your life. Spend some time to journey into God.